This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association and Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist here at Cornell University, and the following podcast is for the week of June 29, 2015. Growing conditions for the 2015 season have now shifted from managing the application of water during the early season dry period to developing strategies for removal of water. Just as dry period exposes weaknesses in an irrigation system, wet conditions expose weaknesses in drainage. Not all areas are significantly above normal for the month, and many are still lagging behind on rainfall from a seasonal perspective. But most areas are receiving at least adequate and occasionally excessive rainfall. For example, central and eastern Long Island are about normal precipitation for June. However, southern New Jersey locations have received 12 inches of rain for June, and Tupper Lake in the Adirondacks about 11 inches. The last few weeks of persistent wet conditions are creating new challenges for normal maintenance, such as mowing and clipping management. And we have an inset picture in the printed version of fairway with excessive clippings. Having to mow in wet conditions alters cut quality, adds labor hours for clipping removal, can create rutting, and if temperatures start to rise, mowing can lead to tracking of Pythium blight. Speaking of fungal diseases, long periods of persistent leaf wetness increases the risk of foliar diseases such as dollar spot and brown patch. At the same time, infection of roots is well underway for summer patch as it occurs between 65 and 80 degrees Fahrenheit soil temperatures. If you receive a diagnosis for summer patch, a fungicide spray will help with halting further infection for a period of time, and 33-36 and Heritage often are best for this. However, the damaged roots are not likely to regrow. In fact, as soil temps rise and become saturated, very few new roots are created, so you should minimize other stressors to avoid a full stand collapse. A brief weather update. It was another warm week with 2 to 4 degrees above normal temps as evening lows are above normal and creating more heat stress. Hard to believe we are ahead of normal, but we are currently 7 to 10 days ahead of normal and the same ahead of last year. Soils are consistently in the upper 60s and 70s to the north, as much as the mid-80s to the south. Driest to the north and west of the region, central and western New York and Long Island seem to have missed out. Evapotranspiration measured at a max 1.5 inches. The drought maps continue to indicate dry conditions. However, many have been seeing relief and some too much rainfall. And the forecast for the week ahead, the front that has kept us about normal temps, maybe cooler and more recently wet, remains stalled off the East Coast. Expect much of the same cool and wet conditions and widespread 2 to 3 inch rainfalls. The longer term models calling for cool and wet conditions to persist over the next 14 days. Lots of wet grass, and you can check on all the weather information at our forecast website, Turfgrass Weather for Weather for the Turfgrass Industry. Regional clips from University of Massachusetts starting out. Crabgrass breakthrough not as bad as originally thought. For sure, grass is growing well to compete and crowd out. Ongoing conversations between industry leaders and local governments regarding leaf mulch mowing in Westchester County. Many turfgrass managers are mowing 2 times per week in western New York and reports of dollar spot on fields and crabgrass. Annual bluegrass weevil damage and anthracnose obvious on fairways in central Long Island, and cleanup passes hardest hit, and that's from Nick Menchik, professor at SUNY Farmingdale. A resource highlight, just in time for the onslaught of weeds, insect diseases with summer temperatures and increased rainfall, comes a 2015-16 Cornell Guide for Commercial Turfgrass Management, a publication in the Cornell Cooperative Extension Crop and Pest Management Guidelines Series. This publication includes overview chapters on proper maintenance and use of IPM, pesticide calibration and application technology, and wildlife pest control. Additionally, sections on PGRs, herbicides, fungicides, and insecticides includes products labeled for use in New York as restricted use, general use, and bio-based organic classifications. Products are presented with their respective EIQ values to assist with selecting the effective products with least environmental impact. And you can access this resource at demo.cuguidelines.net/guidelines/turfgrass. And our questions for this week. My putting surfaces are very wet, algae is present, and I think I see some brown patch active. What's the best strategy for managing these vulnerable surfaces? Putting surfaces with high levels of organic matter, often considered high in our area, greater than 4%, negates many of the benefits of sand-based root zones. Surface organic matter holds water longer in small micropores, and any turf roots in this area are trying to survive in very low oxygen conditions. Additionally, these surfaces become very soft and vulnerable to scalping. Our putting green mower research at Cornell in the last decade found clearly that any form of scalping at this time will lead to basal rot anthracnose. This is regularly confirmed by Rich Buckley, Director of Diagnostic Services at Rutgers University, who reviews hundreds of samples and recently reported an uptick in the number of samples that were coming in with high surface organic matter levels, scalped and filled with basal rot anthracnose. At this point of the season, there are few, if any, reasonable options for addressing the surface organic matter issues, and at best we can help promote some drying at the surface with air movement, spiking, or venting if the surface can remain stable. At this point, it is best to raise the mowing heights, reduce mowing frequency, switch to solid rollers, avoid aggressive vertical mowing and grooving, and avoid application of large amounts of abrasive sand. Be sure of your preventative spray interval. And finally, the question: I received a diagnosis of Pythium root rot. I thought it was Pythium root dysfunction. Can you clarify? Pythium root rot occurs in oversaturated conditions or in areas with poor drainage. Disease outbreaks can occur following high rainfall events accompanied by high temperature stress. Symptoms of turf infected with Pythium root rot initially look wilted and then progress into yellow or dark colored areas occurring in irregular mosaic-like patterns, occasionally following drainage patterns. Individual plants may have rotted crowns and roots. Several Pythium species have been associated with Pythium root rot throughout the country. Pythium root dysfunction is a disease that was recently described in North Carolina on young, less than 5 to 7 year old, bentgrass putting greens. Symptoms of Pythium root dysfunction include plants that are initially wilted and chlorotic, then develop a yellow to orange foliar decline. Infected roots will simply be tan or buff and lack root hairs, one of the distinguishing characteristics between Pythium root dysfunction and Pythium root rot. Unlike Pythium root rot, symptoms of Pythium root dysfunction are most severe during periods of hot and or dry weather and developed in exposed dry areas of turf as opposed to low-lying areas most commonly associated with Pythium root rot. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association and Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program. I'm Frank Rossi, Extension Turfgrass Specialist here in the College of Agriculture and the School of Integrative Plant Sciences at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.